You may be seated. Lord, we ask now that you would open your word to us, that we might be encouraged to grow in you. Amen. Have you ever had the wind blow through your hair and think to yourself, you know, the Spirit speaks to me through the wind, because you don't know where he comes from, you don't know where it's going, and yet it is there. Have you ever sat by a river or fished in a river and marveled over a waterfall or a set of rapids, thinking of how the Holy Spirit is like flowing water, clear and crystal, pure and refreshing, giving life to the earth? Have you ever sat before a bonfire, a campfire, roasting marshmallows in the summer, and thought of the fire that burns in your life, that gentle, purging fire of the Spirit? And if you're like me, when I was younger, my marshmallows would usually turn black before I ate them. So it is that the Holy Spirit shouts through creation. The Holy Spirit shouts and whispers and speaks through God's creation, through the water, the wind, and the fire, through everything that God has made. God has breathed his Spirit into the entire world, much more so through us and into us. Now, there were Jewish people from all over the Roman Empire gathering in Jerusalem. The Jewish diaspora from North Africa, Asia Minor, the Western Empire, and the East, and the South. They'd all come to Jerusalem for a great festival. Every year, the Jewish people, even today, celebrate the festival of Shavuot, they call it. And Shavuot is the commemoration of when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the tablets of stone, the Ten Commandments, and gave them the law. And ever since then, or when it started, they called it the Torah, the law of Moses. The Torah was what gave the Jewish people, and still does, their whole identity. They are children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They are the people, God's chosen race. The Torah gave them identity. It gave them meaning and purpose. And through the law, God breathed through the prophets, through his Spirit, into his people. It made them who they are, makes them who they are. Well, our God has impeccable timing, right? Because God came upon the church at Shavuot this year. Just after Jesus ascended to heaven. And the day of Pentecost had come. A perfect scenario, a perfect strategic thing for God to do. All of these thousands of Jewish people gathered together in one place. And God comes with the Spirit. Tongues of fire settling on the heads of the apostles, wind, and a great moving. The gift of tongues manifested. And 3,000 people of the Jewish race were converted to Christ that day. Because Pentecost does the same thing for us as the Torah does for the Jewish people. The Holy Spirit gives us identity. He gives us meaning and purpose to our lives. And he breathes the life of God into our life. God is alive. And we are alive because of the Holy Spirit. He is, in fact, the person of Jesus Christ living in us. So the church is born in this wonderful time. But I want to share with you this morning, and you all know this, that what God intends, not only for the church today to be continually filled with the Spirit, but for you and I as individuals, that every day of our lives needs to be a personal Pentecost for us, where the Holy Spirit is able to come upon you and me in our own individual walk with God and to breathe upon us, profoundly to breathe upon us, to say, I want to make you more like myself. I want to fill your life. And we say to him, Lord, I'm getting out of bed this morning and I need you. I need your help. You know, I need your wisdom for all the decisions I'm going to make. I need your patience and peace so I don't rush around, you know, and lose my composure. I need you for everything. There's a word in the ancient Hebrew Bible called ruach. That's the word. And it means the breath or the wind. What a wonderful thing it was through Scripture of God's breath being mentioned. It was into Adam in the Garden of Eden that God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He made Adam and Eve living beings, as he has made everything else, with a conscience, a soul, a spirit, everything that makes us human. God breathes into all creation, to the trees, the fields, the wildlife, and most of all, in a special way, human beings. He breathes into us. When the prophet Ezekiel had his vision of the valley of dry bones in the desert, he saw all these bones lying on the ground. Maybe there had been a war there and all the soldiers had fallen. Who knows? Or it may have just been a vision. Nevertheless, the Spirit said to Ezekiel, he said, Son of man, prophesy to these bones. And when Ezekiel prophesied to the bones, breath came into them. And they stood up, and the sinews and tendons formed upon the bones, and the flesh came upon them, and they became a mighty army. A prophecy concerning the resurrection, concerning the glorifying of God's people, concerning the Spirit coming upon all flesh, now and in the kingdom to come. After Jesus was raised from the grave, we see the breath again. Jesus breathed on them when they were locked in the upper room, and he walked through a closed door, having a glorified body, and he breathed on them, and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. So, how often does God breathe upon you? How often does he breathe upon me? It's supposed to be, I think, a daily experience, maybe more than once a day, whenever we need, well, we need it all the time. What a beautiful thing is that the God of the universe can breathe upon you. What a beautiful thing that is to know his life-giving spirit as a torrent of water refreshing your soul, or as a fire burning through the dross in our lives, purging, refining us, or instructing, empowering, and the list goes on and on. Well, there's another word used in the Greek in the New Testament, the parakletos, or the paraclete. That word in Greek means he who comes along beside us to call us and to mentor us and to guide us. He who comes along beside is called the Comforter. Jesus says, if I go away, I'll send the Comforter to you. Well, what a beautiful thing it is for you and I as we have known in our lives, that the Comforter has come. That's why you and I are here this morning. We have, through various ways of God, come to know Him in our lives. We've received Jesus into our hearts. We have committed ourselves to Him and to the church. We have committed ourselves saying, Lord, I am not what I should be. Make me what you want me to be. The Comforter has come along beside us to bless and to fill. What a beautiful thing. It means that we're rooted in God, never to be moved. It means that we're chosen because we too have been grafted into that vine, which is Israel, and we too are spiritual children of Abraham. And it means that we are deeply impacted by God's grace in our lives because the Spirit has come to us. And I would pray that every day for you would be a personal Pentecost. As you say, Lord, I need to be filled today because you fill me every day, but I leak, right? Things leak out of me. I need to be refilled every day. I used to use the example of a teapot, you know, when you've got a tea bags sitting in a teapot for days on end. Some people do that, some don't. I always joke with my mother-in-law about us drinking tea together with really old tea bags. Well, you've got to dump the tea bags out. You've got to dump out the old water and fill it with new tea. But before you do that, you've got to take the lid off, right? Fill it with new tea, let it steep, and then you can drink it. Well, isn't it the same with our lives? First, we have to take the lid off, saying, Lord, I'm opening myself to you. No more closing myself off. I'm opening to you because I know you want to work to do a work in me this day. So pour your fresh living water into me and make me useful, that out of me can be poured out the water, the Spirit, to other people. And so it is, we are given the Spirit of God. How can we ever remain the same if the Spirit of God takes us over, giving us love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, meekness, and self-control? The Spirit has taken us over. But we need to live it, right? God just doesn't give us His gifts to be squandered or to be put up on the shelf. God gives us His gifts so that they can be passed on. You and I all know that as a Christian, one of the hardest groups of people to witness to of our faith is our family. They know us so well. They know all of our faults. And they might say, well, who are you to tell me about Jesus? You think you're better than I am or better than the rest of us? And it's very difficult. All kinds of scenarios could happen. And yet the Spirit is there to help you to be to your family, your loved ones, a powerful witness for God. Not always even by the words that you speak, merely by the way you live your life. You're a witness. But the Spirit also comes for our own personal growth as individuals, to refine us, to help us to grow, to help us to realize things we would never see. And in speaking of this, I'd like to remind you all of something. A while ago, our bishop asked all of us to pray for discernment. And I'm hoping that in our diocese, committees will be, not committees, but groups of people, meetings would take place for the purpose of discerning the way ahead. because we're living in a post-Christendom era in Canada, where the church has been more and more pushed to the margins of society. Our congregations are declining. There's a shortage of clergy. And in this archdeaconry alone, we have 7 vacant parishes with no full-time rector, including us. And that's a big problem. Like, where are we going as a church? But, you know, the Holy Spirit needs to be consulted. We all need to consult the Spirit, saying, Lord, show us where we're supposed to go as a church. Show us how we're supposed to adapt to a new situation. Bishop Hawken used to talk a lot about, when he was our bishop, about the church being in a strange place. And he quoted the Wizard of Oz movie, right? Where Dorothy and her dog, Toto, were taken up in the tornado and the house flies to the land of Oz. And she says, Toto, I don't think we're in Kansas anymore. And Bishop Hawken would say, we're not in Kansas anymore. We're in a very different world now than we were even in the 70s or 80s. We're in a very different world. And the church needs to learn how to survive, but also how to grow and to blossom in this new world. And we don't have the answers, but God has the answers. And so we really need to look to the Spirit to really, not only personally, but corporately for the church. So I conclude by saying, you know, the Spirit that is alive in the waterfall, the Spirit that is in the wind and in the fire, is the same Spirit who breathes into you and I. And as the Apostle Paul said, we can be able to call God or say to God, Abba, Father. That intimate way in which we can call God Father because the Spirit has been placed in our lives. Lord, thank you so much for Pentecost. Help us to truly live that and to truly know that we have been touched by you in many, many ways. In your name we pray. Amen. So...